Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. This is the number one daily radio show for realtors looking for a no BS, authentic, real-time coaching experience. What's really working in today's market, how to generate more leads, make more money, and have more time for what you love in your life. And now your hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
Welcome back, Julie. We are going to pick up where we left off the day before yesterday, and we're talking more about the effects of the NAR Commission lawsuit as pertains to agents. Our focus is always going to be agents' boots on the street, what actions they need to be taking now so that they're more than prepared for the changes that are going to be happening in the industry in July of this year. So the title of today's show is New Rules for Buyer Agents, Facts versus Fiction, Facts You Must Know. And Julie, you have something you want to read to everyone before we get started?
Yes. So this is hot off the presses from Sue and Rachel Romans up in Wisconsin. Anybody who has Wisconsin referrals, they are the people to send it to. Last name is Romens. Sue wrote to me this morning. She's been listening to the podcast. And she said the conversations are already happening with her clients and prospects from buyers and sellers. We feel confident our business will continue as is. We've always had buyer agency agreements and never had a seller that didn't see the value in offering buyer agent commissions. Had a seller recently list with us only offering 2% buyer agent commission, but when it went above list price, the VA offer was received with an additional 1% that they asked for. Sellers had zero issues accepting the VA buyer's offer. So I think what Sue is highlighting here, along with her daughter Rachel, is that when you have really great communication and you show your value and you also are good at negotiating with the other side, that it's pretty much business as usual and commissions have always been negotiated in the first place. There's more to it than that. It's what's the rest of the offer? What's the rest of the contract? And then we come to an agreement.
We listened to a little podcast this morning for the new CEO of National Association of Realtors. And it was very short. In essence, he said that, you know, he's talking about the dollar amount of the commission lawsuit and the brokerages and the MLSs that we're going to, you know, no longer have to worry about the litigation. But the gist of it was, and he made this quite clear, is the biggest change and the effect it's going to have, and we've been talking about this for the last, you know, three podcasts, is going to be that the commission, co-op commission for buyer agents, is not just going to be printed in the MLS. And put it, I think, in a more precise way, there's no longer an entitlement for a buyer's agent commission as part of a real estate transaction. You can't just automatically assume there's going to be a commission. But let's be honest, as this thing evolves, as the market adjusts, as market forces, you know, essentially rule the day as they always do, you're going to see plenty of buyer agent commission, and there's a good chance that the buyer agent commission rates are going to be the exact same as they were before. The way you're going about, essentially requesting it from the seller or from maybe even the buyer's mortgage company, there's going to be different ways of going about getting your commission covered. There's months from now, we'll have the viable solutions and the paths forward. What we'll strongly suggest all of you do is pay attention to what your brokers are saying, your MLSs are saying, because they're going to be the ones coming out with the forms that are already legally approved to use in your market. But really, if I were a broker right now or a team leader, and I had a bunch of agents that were dependent on me and knowing what direction to go, here's what I tell them. Mm-hmm. Shut up and get back to work.
For sure.
That's what I would say. Yeah. I'd say, you know, honestly, I'd say stop worrying about things you can't control. Focus on what you can control. Mm-hmm. And what you can control is obviously the buyers and the sellers that you help, you know, with their real estate transactions. So proactively create more leads and just get back to work. And there's an innate benefit of thinking like that. Because while everyone else is worried about, you know, is the sky falling, and they're not going to be taking the actions necessary to go out and help buyers or sellers because they're all worried and all glued to the latest, you know, salacious headline, you're going to be out there making money helping people. So yeah, I would say definitely if you are wondering what direction to go, move forward as fast, if not faster than you ever have been, ever moved forward before. I'm reading Julie's notes and stumbling. I can't read and talk at the same time.
It's okay.
So Julie, let's go ahead and jump right in with the notes you've prepared for today.
Well, that was actually a good segue, because why are they being distracted? Part of that is because of the crazy and also not factual headlines. So part of what we're talking about today is fact or fiction. Is it end times or is it a renaissance? What's happening? Because, you know, this is a talking point. So we're trying to educate you and motivate you and get you into action. To your point, drill down and get to work. Last Friday, March 15th, the National Association of Realtors announced that they had reached a proposed settlement for the commission's lawsuits. Let's examine what happened and what it means versus what the media and social media tell you. It's also worth noting, to your earlier point, Tim, that even some agents are exacerbating the issue by not drilling down and getting to work, but instead plastering TikTok and YouTube with drama and speculation. Today's podcast will help you navigate the wilds of real estate armed with facts, not fiction.
And what we're going to do is we're going to share with you some of the most ridiculous headlines from what should have been the most critical, you know, I'd say credible news sources on planet Earth, and how really salacious and gross a lot of their headlines are, how attention grabbing they are. And your New York Times article, a headline that you're starting out with here, that's probably better than most of the TikTok headlines that agents were coming up with.
True.
I mean, it's really,
but also factually incorrect.
It's completely. You have to wonder, really, ultimately, do they know that they're doing things that are factually incorrect just so they get clicks? Or are they making a mistake of doing things that are factually incorrect? I'm going to go with they know what they're doing just to get clicks.
I would probably have to agree with that because it's just so, so clearly wrong. So there are a lot of headlines and there's a lot of social media posts. I just pulled out the top four. So let's look at these.
And this matters to you if for no other reason, we can all laugh about these titles together, but mostly it matters because your buyers and your sellers are going to be reading this stuff and you're going to have to know how to prepare. You're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have to know how to prepare them so that they're not essentially making assumptions about how you're going to get paid and how buyer agents are going to get paid.
Based on non-facts, right?
Right.
So let's start with the fiction, courtesy of the major media, delivered promptly to your inboxes, social media, and conversations, especially this weekend. So from the New York Times, they wrote, this is a headline, powerful group agrees to slash commissions to settle lawsuits.
Now, did NAR agree to slash commissions to settle lawsuits? I'm going to go with no.
No, and we're going to drill down about why all four of these have little landmines like that of incorrect things. CNN wrote, the 6% commission on buying or selling a home is gone after Realtors Association agrees to seismic settlement. All right. Again, we'll negate all this in a second. MSNBC weighed in with this headline. The NAR real estate settlement could make your next home more affordable. And CBS News, National Association of Realtors to cut commissions to settle lawsuits. So can you explain what's wrong with these headlines? All four of them are wrong. Why? Let's straighten out some fact-based talking points for you so that your weekend conversations with prospects, clients, open house attendees, and media posts can be positive and productive and also true.
By the way, all the notes that Julie is reading are available to you if you subscribe to harrisrealestatedaily.com. harrisrealestatedaily.com. The link to subscribe is down below. We launched the newsletter a couple weeks ago because of YouTube and some of these other platforms were allowing us to put our, really Julie's very long and breathy notes on the show descriptions anymore. So we launched our newsletter. Yes, there's been some trial and error on the newsletter trying to get it right, but we're almost to the finish line with getting all the details perfect. So for those of you that subscribed and you aren't getting the newsletter, you're going to have to probably check all mail or spam, and you have to double opt in to receive the newsletter. In this newsletter, Julie and I are going to pour a ton. You think we pour a ton into this podcast, and we do. We're going to be doing even more into the newsletter. So all the notes from every podcast are going to be going into the newsletter. In addition to that, we're doing a lot of exclusive interviews and also providing a lot of exclusive content that's not going to be on the podcast. That's only going to be on the newsletter. And the newsletter is free. So just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com, harrisrealestatedaily.com. And if you scroll down below, you'll see a link to also just pop over there and subscribe. It only takes 2 seconds. You only have to put in your email address. Remember, once you put in your email address, go over to your email. And then if it's not showing up in your inbox, the confirmation that you want the newsletter, look in your spam folder, look in your all mail. And yeah, it's just a little bit of a growing pain with the newsletter because we had so many people that wanted to subscribe right away. The email sender was suspicious that we weren't actually getting double opt-ins. But now that we've proven that they are, we're going to have to go back and you guys are going to have to check to see if you have received the confirmation, which you have, and just agree to it and you're off to the races. And the newsletter will arrive every single day with all sorts of fresh content. You guys love this podcast. You're going to love the newsletter. It's going to allow Julie and I a larger platform to really, truly drill down. We're going to be bringing on some additional staff writers. We're going to be bringing on actually some of our coaching clients who are great writing. We have someone that's going to be contributing AI content. All kinds of good stuff is coming your way in the newsletter. So just go to harrisrealestatedaily.com.
All right. Thank you for that reminder. Hopefully you guys are all busy doing that. We just covered some of the fiction that's floating around. We could do a very long podcast about all those headlines, but that was an intro to the fiction that you might hear coming out of prospects' mouths. So let's switch now to facts about the settlement, and we'll loop that into what you may be hearing. All right, fact number one, the National Association of Realtors did agree to pay $418 million to the plaintiffs. The settlement allows for 4 years to pay that amount. Yes, NAR can afford this. No, this is not cutting out of commissions, as the headline implies.
And yes, most likely they did not say they won't be raising dues. So I'm going to guess some of that is going to be coming from agents paying more to National Association of Realtors over the next 4 years. But I have to point this out, Julie. One of the speculative points of the settlement before any of the points came around were that the agents were no longer going to have to be members of the National Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. And I have noticed that that is not part of the actual settlement. So in most cases, you're still going to have to join your local MLS. And if your local MLS has an agreement with NAR, you're still going to have to join NAR. I'm not sure, but I think that's actually how it worked out. Okay, well, let's move forward.
We'll talk about that in a second. But yes, so that's why we're doing the facts on the actual settlement. Fact number two, NAR will prohibit offering or publishing buyer's agent commission rates on the MLS. That doesn't mean everywhere in the world. It means just the MLS. This is big news because commissions were previously required to be listed, even if the amount was only a dollar. The change is supposed to take effect sometime in July. I think it's wise to just figure on July 1st. Just because commissions can't be advertised in the MLS does not mean the commissions are going away. Think back to those headlines.
So how are you going to know what the co-op commission is on a listing? You're going to have to maybe go to the broker's main website. That's not the MLS. You're maybe going to have maybe the particular broker has a company-wide policy that there's always going to be a co-op of at least a certain amount. Maybe you're going to have to call the listing agent. Maybe that's going to be printed someplace else. I suspect what most brokers are going to do is they're going to create, they already have. I mean, eXp's got their own portal, and a lot of these other big brokerages do as well. By the way, did you hear about eXp? Their stats came out today. They're the largest brokerage by transaction count.
Number one again, second year in a row.
That's awesome. So yeah, what's going to most likely happen is there's going to be these big national brokerages, and Julie and I talked about this the other day. They're going to have their own, let's call it MLS for lack of a better term, but common understanding, where you're going to go and you're going to see all the listings that they have for sale, and you're going to guess what? See what the co-op commission is. And then there'll still be a normal MLS, but there just won't be any co-op commission listed there. And guess what's going to then happen? Someone's going to create a little API or a little widget, which is going to be probably very friendly to your mobile device, which is going to merge the information from the broker site with your local MLS, and you're going to have full data, including what the co-op commission is going to be. This is how market forces are going to come up with all kinds of creative ideas to make it so that buyer's agents are still fully aware of what they're going to get paid on a real estate transaction. You will have to have, I don't want to step on Julie's third point. Go ahead, Julie.
It's okay. Well, it's funny that you said that. We just listened to Kevin Sears from NAR in his talk. One of the things that he said was that he has confidence that agents will figure out how to deal with this.
Well, what I just said is what's going to happen. Somebody right now is in their basement creating a widget, which is going to fully integrate essentially, like eXp's big national listing data site with the MLS, so that an agent then will be those data, those two sites will have the data merged and they'll probably even make it consumer facing, but it won't be the MLS.
No, but it won't be the MLS. So you're still compliant. All right. Fact number three, sellers still have the option to pay all or some of the buyer's side commissions. Remember, the headlines floating around are commissions are gone. The official percentage is gone. Not true. Sellers still have the option to pay all or some of the buyer side commission. It just has to be advertised, offered, and negotiated outside of the MLS. The headlines will have you believe that the commission is universally eliminated.
Why would a seller want to pay a co-op? I'll give you a real obvious example. If you're in a market where there's a lot of new construction, builders are they're excluded from all this. So let's say the builders are offering a 3% co-op commission. Buyer's agents sell that $600,000 house, you're going to get $18,000. Let's say there's a local seller with a resale home, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to pay any buyer's agent commission, or I'm not going to, I'm going to pay only 1% or something like this. That does make their home less competitive, because in some cases, agents will, I hate to use the word, not want to show it, or the seller will be less, maybe less motivated. Otherwise, they'd be offering more of a competitive commission. In when you're selling something, it doesn't matter whether it's an appliance or whether or not it's an online service or whether or not it's a house. You have to be competitive, not just on best price, condition, location with real estate, but also all the other incentives that make the deal go through. Like, for example, if you've got a seller that's not willing to take a FHA, VA financing, that's going to eliminate a lot of the potential buyers. Okay, how about this? Going back to my point that I poorly made a second ago, but still, I think you guys are getting the point. If you have a buyer who's an FHA, VA, let's say VA, and they have barely enough down payment in the first place, and you have a seller that's not willing to pay the commission, and you have a buyer that's in contract with that buyer's agent with an exclusive, which by the way is mandated now, where the buyer has agreed to pay that buyer's agent commission, but the buyer's agent commission is not being paid by that seller and they can't finance it, let's say. So what's that buyer going to do if they want to buy a house? Oh, there's a new construction area down the way that's going to pay the buyer's agent commission. You know damn well that's what they're going to do. You guys get it? That's what's going to happen. These are the market forces that are going to essentially rule the day and make it so that buyer's agents maybe become even more relevant than they ever have been before, because they're having to prove their value to the buyers in the form of presentations and buyer agency exclusive
contracts. That's my belief too.
Yeah.
I think so. So fact number four, we've focused on this fact most of this week because it affects you the most. Buyer's agents will be required to have a signed buyer representation agreement before they can show their clients anything listed on the MLS. Before, it was highly recommended and coached by us forever, by the way, evident by Sue Roman's thing at the top of our podcast here. But now it's going to be a requirement. That's the difference. Again, we have until July 1st. However, many of the brokers are already requiring this. I'm hearing this from coaching clients that they're already making moves on that. Fact number five, you will no longer be required to be an MLS member to collect real estate commissions, but you'll probably still want to be. There's just not a requirement.
But you will be required to be the MLS to put a house for sale in the MLS as a listing agent, I'm sure. But back to fact number four, I really want to know how that's going to be policed.
I know. And we're going to get into a lot of questions surrounding all of this in a second. We can do as many or as few questions as you want.
How are they going to actually, whoever the they is, going to make it so that the buyer's agents have to have exclusive contracts signed? Who's policing that? What's going to happen if you're a broker with, 1,000 agents, and let's say 500 of them don't want to use exclusives because they don't know how to actually get it signed, and it makes them feel, they're working with a lot of centers of influence and past clients, and they're uncomfortable asking that, center of influence, past client to make a contractual obligation to work with them. There's going to be a lot of emotions and a lot of skills that are going to have to, be worked through on the agent side. So what is the broker going to do? Are they going to make it so that you have to prove before you work with any buyer that you have an exclusive sign? I mean, guys, if you've been in real estate for more than 2 seconds, it's going to be impossible for all this to be policed.
It's a compliance nightmare.
Look, I get it. When the house is in contract, you're going to have to turn in all the paperwork, agency form, and all the rest of it. I get that. But you're telling me that you're going to somehow industry force buyers agents to have the exclusive sign prior to them wanting or being able
prior
to work
to a showing.
Buyer? How about what happens if it's an open house?
Well, we're going to get into all these questions, so just hang on just for a second. Our final fact number six, the settlement is actually not even a done deal just yet. It still has to be approved by the court and the DOJ. It may be amended, and there is still a lot of uncertainty surrounding the case, which we're going to get to. So questions we have, and again, I have a lot of them written down. We don't have to talk about all of them. Questions we have and what to watch as we travel from this day of this podcast towards July 1st, when all of this is supposed to become official and again, may be modified. So we're going to get into some of those questions like your open house question. Number one, will buyer's agents ask for a seller's concession to cover their commission on basically every offer, just as a strategy and a practices type of move? Will listing agents operate business as usual and offer buyer side commissions out of habit and tradition? Will they offer a higher buyer side commission to sell their listings faster? I think some of this depends on inventory levels,
right?
But that's all a bunch of questions in that first one.
But even if you're one of these eight of these brokerages, I got a new model, I'm going to advertise list for 3%, and then you're still going to end up basically having to pay a co-op. I mean, there's no real way around. Well, it's because if there's 10 buyers in the marketplace, 9 of them are going to be working directly with a buyer's agent, and you're going to basically exclude those 9. Remember, now in this post July 1st world, the buyers are going to be in an exclusive contract with those buyer's agents, thus making the buyer obligated to pay the commission, which means that if you're not offering a co-op on your listing on your house for sale, you're probably going to make it so the buyer is going to choose not to want to see it, because otherwise, how the hell are they going to pay their buyer agent? You guys get it?
Yeah, which leads to a related question number two. Will agents have to call listing agents to find out what's being offered and then naturally prioritize those listings to show their clients. Isn't this steering, and isn't this anti-agency? You're supposed to represent your client first. Isn't that representing yourself first?
Isn't that the very thing that they were trying to get rid of?
Yes.
But now isn't it the buyer that's going to be saying, only show me houses where the co-op commission is covered so I don't have to pay for it? You guys get it?
Yeah, a nightmare. All right, number three, will agents invent code words to communicate what's being offered? We're already seeing language in new listings like agent friendly. Does that mean that you can count on being paid as a buyer's agent without asking the listing agent? Perhaps. There's always an agent workaround, isn't there? I heard that several times yesterday, actually. All right, number four, how does dual agency work in this new world? Think about open house leads. Unrepresented buyers may ask the listing agent to rep them. Does this become a sub-agency situation like we had, you know, back in 1997 before 1998 came out with how we've been doing things? Isn't that what we got away from that created our current model? That's an interesting thing to think about, right?
Well, definitely.
And there are some brokerages already outlawing dual agency for that reason, which then leads you to have to assign that buyer who came to your open house to somebody else.
Well, not necessarily, Julie. I mean, you know, if you're a listing agent and you don't want to be a dual agent, you're just going to represent the seller and the buyer is just going to be unrepresented. You can still write the contract as just the seller's agent. The buyer just won't have representation. That's the cleanest way to go about doing it.
100%.
If you're a listing agent selling one of your listings, just don't be a dual agent.
That's right. So point number five, or question number five, will there be flat fee models to represent buyers? And if so, what amount will agents settle in on? Maybe a sliding scale of fees depending on A, the purchase price, and or B, the services rendered. That could emerge, at least as an option. Number six, how will the election play into this story? Aren't we all supposed to be creating more affordable housing, not less affordable, by forcing the buyer to have more fees? Will there be special programs from the government entities and or mortgage lenders?
Right there is the answer. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see, and mark our words on this one, guys. The GSEs, Fannie Freddie, are going to allow you to roll in any buyer agent commissions. Julie and I got into this the other day on this podcast. Listen to our past shows. We think, well, right now, would you say, Julie, on some of the programs, you can go 6% over the appraised price?
You can have 6% concessions total. So that would include things like the buyer side commission, but also maybe closing costs and other fees.
Right. So this is all going to be, you know, the market and the nature of the industry, it's all going to absorb all these, you know, this change in procedure is essentially what this is going to amount to.
Yeah.
This is not really getting rid of buyer agent commissions. This is just moving it around and how a buyer agent is going to go about asking for the commission.
Exactly.
And something else that's important to know, the reason there are buyer agents is because the market wants buyer agents. If there weren't a need or a desire for buyer agents, there wouldn't be buyer agents. The market, buyers and sellers even, you know, the industry wants buyer's agents. Otherwise, they wouldn't exist. If something is no longer in demand, how long does it take for it just to simply go away? How many 8-track players do you have in your house today? How many CD players do you have in your house? The market is always evolving. The reason that buyer's agents have become more relevant in the industry is because they've become more valuable in the industry as the transactions have gotten more difficult. As of July 1st, are the transactions getting easier or more difficult? More difficult.
Significantly.
So you're going to see more, and there's a whole generation, maybe even two generations of folks that have been buying and selling real estate only knowing to have a buyer's agent. It's not like, you understand?
Well, buyer agency was created to get away from sub-agency, which didn't make a whole lot of sense in the first place. And that's because exactly what you said, people demanded representation on the buyer side.
You guys get it? Again, I keep saying that because I don't want you to overly react to how all these changes. It's basically what we feel like it's going to be mostly a procedural process. It's not going to have that much of an effect, provided you actually know how to, you know, prove your value to a buyer. You're going to have a presentation. You're going to have to show them why you're worth hiring. You're going to have to, in some cases, compete for a buyer to work with you because the buyer is ultimately going to be obligated to pay your commission. Now, there'll be 1,001 ways. Well, let's just say there's going to be 4 to 6 ways to get the buyer agent commission covered by either the seller or the financing or a combination of all the above. But there'll be a normalized approach to going about collecting those commissions, and I wouldn't worry too much. The industry is very entrepreneurial in nature. So, you know, again, get back to work.
But the difference is now you have to be the one explaining it to them and having an actual form. That's the real difference.
Well, and the presentation.
So
with Premier Coaching, you get a whole complete buyer presentation. You get the complete buyer A to Z process that we've been teaching for years. And obviously we're evolving it now, but you actually get the entire presentation of why the buyer should be working with you. This is a flip chart. You can digitize it as well. Why, you know, what your USPs are, why they want to work, how, you know, all the different ways that you can help them and represent them during a transaction. just as if you were a listing agent trying to win that seller, now you're going to have the mindset you're a buyer's agent trying to win that buyer. It's not that big of a deal. You can adapt. You can change, and you'll be more than successful than ever. Why? Because during times of change like this, the greatest fortunes are made during the greatest times of change. And what you're going to see is a lot of the agents and brokerages aren't willing to evolve, aren't willing to change, and you're going to have a competitive advantage. And that might last for a year, maybe it lasts for 2 years. But the most important thing is you have urgency with taking advantage of these and knowing what's happening. You're listening to this podcast, start getting into action, join Premier Coaching. It doesn't cost you anything. The link is down below, or just go to premiercoaching.com, and we'll get you ahead of the curve so that, frankly, when the changes are in place, you're already institutionalized all best practices and you're ready to rumble.
Yes, that's right. And remember, some of you haven't ever done this because you maybe tried getting the signature, but you tried it without actually presenting, which was confusing. Then you stopped trying to do it.
So remember, premiercoaching.com, or click the link below in the show description.
All right, question number seven. There's probably like 25 questions, but I pulled out the top ones. Number seven, how much inventory will it take to eliminate all of these issues and get back to the normal splits we've become accustomed to? I think a lot of this is going on because of the weight of the power on the listing agent and the seller.
Julie, imagine when it becomes a buyer's market. I mean, you're going to see like co-op commissions, buyer agent commissions, exceed 3%.
Yes, they'll for sure go up.
This is what happens. So like if all of a sudden there's a big spike in inventory, which by the way, we don't see that happening anytime soon, but maybe in some markets it's possible. You know, so if there's a big spike in inventory in some markets, in order to get that house sold, the seller is going to be more than happy to pay more than whatever the traditional co-op commission is in order for that buyer to want to, you know, obviously, you know, see and buy their house.
Sure.
That's the nature of things. That's how all this works.
So number eight, how will the builders react to these changes? I have several coaching clients that are deep in a new construction market. Like there's oceans and oceans of it. Some of the, what they are reporting is that some of the prominent builders are not messing with commissions specifically so they can drive business to their homes.
Number nine, what happens to agents that don't even know any of these changes are happening? We've talked about that. They're going to unfortunately not make the bend in the road, but that's the nature of the industry. That's the nature of competition. Number 10, how do Zillow, Homes.com, CoStar, Realtor.com, and anyone else peddling buyer leads change their models? What is Zillow Flex? What are Zillow Flex agents going to do? That's an R, not an is. And you know what? That question is something for somebody with higher pay grade than Julie and I to answer. But I really do think that those guys are going, especially with the other changes that are happening, with regards to TCPA and opt-in forms, all those lead selling platforms are really going to have to figure out a way to retool what their value proposition is to all of you. If your only source of leads is buying buyer leads and paying salacious, you know, referral fees, frankly, and you add to it the fact that buyer agent commissions are going to now be something that are no longer an entitlement to the transaction, you're going to have a lot of challenges mid-year. And for sure, I really don't see how those big companies, those big portals are going to adapt. Nope. To this new world. Because if they're selling leads that are only getting, they're only getting referral fees when that lead closes, if the agent they're selling those leads to is not able to secure a market rate commission, whatever it is, it may be zero commission, or maybe it's $1,000 or nothing. Who knows? That's what happens during times of transitioning periods. Mm-hmm. Zillow is going to have their revenue decimated because all the referral fees are going to drop so far. And what happens then? And that's what's going to happen. We're going to see these types of changes happen. Yep. This is, in my opinion, what's going to happen is these changes are going to put the big national brokerages at an enormous competitive advantage in the marketplace.
Which is number 12. But number 11, will mortgage lenders offer some of the services of buyer's agents and become dual licensed? That's a story that I'm watching because I read a lot of mortgage news. And that is the chatter in the mortgage world, is since we have to process the loan anyway, maybe we'll also have, a contracts section in what we offer.
I'm going to go with no way.
We'll see. That's pretty complicated to me as well, but I'm watching it. Number 12, what you just said, will we see consolidation of big brokers and a compression of independent brokers and teams?
Well, I mean, the obvious natural thing for most of you to do if you're, as Julie just said, even a large brokerage, we're talking with brokerages with thousands of agents. Julie and I are helping them to really, I think, gather their troops and decide what direction they want to go in this post July 1st world where their, buyer agent commissions are going to be in flux and a lot of their business model, the things that have been real, I think, anchors in their business models, those are going to be cut and they're going to, again, be adrift in the ocean. And unfortunately, a lot of them aren't going to make aren't going to make it through another year or two. So a lot of these brokers, what we're talking to them about is what's the next natural step in their business model, and it's to move up to eXp Realty. There's no doubt. I mean, there's a reason that eXp Realty is the number one transaction brokerage, or number one brokerage in the United States by transaction count. It's because so many big brokers and teams are moving over to eXp Realty because the numbers just make sense. It's just a simple, it's a spreadsheet problem, and we'd love the opportunity to talk with you about moving up to eXp Realty. And really, the easiest way for you to go about learning more about it is in the show description. There's a link to learn more about Julie and I's eXp Realty Group. Or you can just text me directly at 512-758-0206, 512-758-0206. In the meantime, Julie and I, and the industry, we still have a lot of unanswered questions. And as we get answers to these questions, we'll be sharing you the answers on this podcast. Thanks for keeping this number one listen to daily podcast for real estate professionals in at least the United States. It's our pleasure and our honor to be part of your life, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity to be part of your life every single day on this podcast. Have a fantastic day. We'll talk with you on the show tomorrow.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.